Now I can say welcome. Do it. Welcome back to Static Rankings, where the rankings are static.
But stay for the shock. We'll get better.
We'll figure it out. It's always an adjustment period.
Yeah.
I'm your head observer.
A little wobbly on the bike.
Yeah, you know. I'm your head observer, Ben Creighton, with me as always.
Hey, it's Kenny Wendorski.
I cooked a ham last week.
Okay.
Yeah, I was visiting with my fiance. I'm speaking of things I'm still not used to saying. was staying with my fiance last week. It was supposed to be a job hunting trip, and then I got offered the job that I wanted on Monday. But she still had to work all week. I'm like, don't take time off work. I'll see you after work. You'll go to work. I'll go looking for work. We'll meet up after. And then, yeah, I did so much nothing last week. It was glorious.
Nice.
But I made ham gravy. Because I just roasted it in a roasting tray, and it comes out, and it's got all these ham drippings. I'm like, well, I don't want that to go to waste. Let's make gravy. Turns out ham gravy is the saltiest thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Yeah.
It had, and I'd given the ham like a brown sugar glaze, so it was like salty and sweet, but like way, way too salty. It was good, but it was so salty.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking up, like, what should I do about this? And the advice I got was put some vinegar in it, cut the salt with some acidity. So I did that. Wound up tasting not too different from ketchup.
I'll be damned.
Because that's, you know, it's mostly what ketchup is salt, sugar, and vinegar with some tomato paste. And it didn't have that tomato flavor, but other than that, it was like ham ketchup.
Weird.
It turned out pretty good, but if I had it to do over again, would have used more milk, more flour, and probably wound up making like twice as much of the gravy. It made so much gravy. But yeah, that was my week last week.
Nice.
I made biscuits. They did not rise. They were quite limp.
I've never made biscuits, so it's at least you've done more than I have.
Yeah, well, I've made from scratch biscuits before, and they turned out well before, but I don't know if I just didn't put enough baking soda in it or what, but if I had access to a car, like, I'm not too good for store-bought biscuits. I just would have gotten some Pillsbury biscuits out of a tube, whatever, but I did not have a car. I was going to rent one if I needed to drive around and look for jobs, but since I didn't, like, yeah, who needs that kind of expense?
Yeah.
So, yes, that's how I spent last week, was eating very flat biscuits and very salty gravy that tasted like ketchup.
Nice. I don't really have any news. It's just been work. Nothing going on. I didn't see any movies.
Yeah, we're still sitting around here twiddling our thumbs until fucking Dune 2 comes out.
Yeah, March 1.
That was the other thing that I watched. I watched the Jodorowsky's Dune documentary.
Ooh,
have you heard of that
one?
It's on HBO Max.
Okay.
Speaking of things that I will continue to call, they can drop the HBO all they want. Fuck you. It's HBO Max. But it's on there, and I highly recommend it. It's super interesting.
Okay.
It's about the dude who got all the way through, like, casting and pre-production to do a Dune movie before the David Lynch version, and then it was going to cost way too much, and they pulled the plug and gave it to David Lynch instead. But it is a fascinating story, because it's this... I've never seen any of his movies, but now I kind of want to. This Mexican director named Jodorowsky, who made these, like, really weird, trippy, psychedelic art house movies. And he was going to change, he was going to play Duke Leto, and he was going to have his real life son play Paul. And this whole like 2-year pre-production process where he's planning everything out, he got a martial arts master and put his son through hell for a movie that didn't actually wind up getting made, because his son was only like 12 or 13 at the time. So yeah, you know, give it a couple of years for this movie to get made, and yeah, he would have been pretty age appropriate for a young Paul Atreides. But he got he got Salvador Dali to play the emperor. Yeah.
Oh wow.
He had H.R. Geiger, like this just star-studded H.R. Geiger
from
working
Alien.
On the art.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But before Alien, he got Pink Floyd to do the soundtrack.
That would have been great.
Right?
Oh man.
He had Fade Rautha. He got Mick Jagger to play Fade Rautha.
Oh shit.
And it's, so most of the documentary is like this Seven Samurai recruiting the team. It's just telling the story of how he was traveling around the globe trying to find the people that he wanted to work with, handpicking them, and then having to convince them to sign on to this very speculative, we hope we can get this thing made.
Yeah.
But one of the guys calls this guy, like, he's kind of a cult leader. And oh boy, because the guy, he's in his 80s now, but he was in the documentary, and you see him talk and hear him talk, and it's like, yeah, he's incredibly charismatic in kind of a creepy way, but also like, but I'd follow you to the ends of the earth. Wow. What can I do, sir, to make your vision come true?
Wow.
And I won't tell, I don't want to spoil too much of the movie, but one of the anecdotes, the way he got Salvador Dali to sign on is Dali had not done a whole lot of acting. You know, obviously he's famous as a painter, but he and so his only interest, he said, I will do it if you pay me $100,000 an hour. I want to be the highest paid actor in Hollywood history. Not really because he needed or wanted the money, but just because I want to be called, I'm Salvador Dali.
Oh.
I want to be. And so the way he got him to do it is he went back to his like producer, the money guy, and the money guy said, well, okay, doesn't sound like he actually cares about the money, though. In the finished film, how many minutes of runtime is his character going to be in? I don't know, 3-4 minutes. So he goes back to him and says, I will do you even better, Mr. Dali. I will pay you $100,000 per minute.
Ooh.
Of finished film.
Oh.
And Dali loved it because that's $100,000 per minute. I'll do it.
Nice.
Because he just wanted the story.
Yeah.
And for every person, there was a crazy story like this.
Wow.
At its
I'm watching it. Then.
You should super watch it.
Cool.
it starts a little slow, and it's kind of like, what's this gonna
be? I like behind the scenes stuff like that.
There
was one. It actually went the whole way through. It was the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, okay.
And somebody made a documentary about, because I guess that movie was just hell on earth to make.
Yeah.
And there was somebody behind the scenes and made a movie about all the shit behind that. So yeah, this sounds right in my alley.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it.
Nice.
It's lots of fun. I'm a little sad. I guess this documentary was made in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have been before this happened, but just in the last couple of years, a bunch of like cryptocurrency tech bros, because Jodorowsky made like the Bible of what this movie was going to be so that he could show it around to lots of movie studios and try to get funding. And only 2 copies of this giant book of like storyboards and concept art and all this stuff, only 2 copies of it exist. And these tech bro cryptocurrency douchebag guys bought one of the only 2 copies for like,
of course
I don't
he
know,
did.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, $2 million or something crazy like that.
I probably weighed on him at the Ritz. Yeah.
But because they are stupid, as such tech bros tend to be, they didn't understand that what they were buying was the physical object.
Uh-huh.
They weren't buying the rights to make the movie.
Oh,
and so they started talking on Twitter, social media, everything like, this is great. We're going to get this movie made. We're going to find some funding only for people. After they'd already spent a shit ton of their own money on this thing. Like, it's not how it works.
Yeah.
It's
Warner Brothers has that money.
Yeah. I can buy a copy of a Stephen King book. That doesn't mean I'm allowed to make a movie out
of it. Yeah.
Although speaking of Stephen King being a cool guy, he's been known to sell the rights, the non-exclusive rights to make movies from his short stories for $1 to film students.
Oh.
Just to see what they'll make.
Okay.
Yeah. He's only on Twitter, so I don't follow him. But he's a cool guy. He's one of the good ones.
Sounds
Stephen
fun.
King is. Yeah.
Do you think he'd hang out with us?
I bet he would.
We'd take him to Mama's Pizza.
Yeah, he was in a band with Dave Barry for a while.
I know he did copious amounts of drugs while making the the car that comes alive.
Christine,
movie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, a lot of his early work was
coke filled.
Yep.
Like mega benders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He He wrote Tommyknockers was one of the books that he wrote. I don't know if you ever read that one.
No, I remember the ABC channel was promoting it, but I never watched it. I was too young to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if it made that ABC made-for-TV version, but in the book, go figure, the main character is a writer who lives in Maine.
Nuts.
Yeah, in a Stephen King book.
Is it Derry, Maine?
It's not Derry, but it's one of those.
Yeah.
But... aliens, there's a buried alien spacecraft shoots out rays and makes people super smart and they can invent things.
Right.
And this writer invents a magic typewriter basically that reads her brainwaves while she's asleep and writes her novels for her without her needing to put out any effort. And Stephen King says, yes, that magic typewriter, that was cocaine.
I was gonna say.
It's my metaphor.
Looks like a duck and quacks like a duck. Yep. It's cocaine.
Yeah. He wrote that one after he'd gotten clean.
He wrote one of the X-Files episodes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A doll, killer doll. Okay. It's not one of their better ones. It's one of their like side ones. But Scully winds up going to Maine.
Of course.
And she gets like a ginormous lobster. And there's a scene where they put the lobster in front of Scully. And she's like, Jesus Christ.
But we didn't watch any Dune or any Stephen King.
No.
Today we watched episode 2 of Static Shock, Aftershock.
Yes, we did.
And, you know, we said, yeah, I guess it's just a one-part pilot. It's, you know, it's not a part 1, part 2. This, if they'd called it Shock to the System Parts 1 and 2, this basically functions as a two-parter.
Yeah, it does.
But we're not ranking things, so we can do it in two separate weeks. It's nice.
Huzzah!
So we open up, and Virgil and Richie are watching a news report about all the shit that went down. Did you miss last episode? Here's
Don't
the Cliff's Notes version.
Don't worry. Yes. Gas explosion. Gas caused mutations.
If you didn't take a shot at the time, you can take one now. It's okay.
We call them metahumans or bang babies.
Yes. The cops think there could be hundreds of people who were exposed, which... seemed like there was only like 2 dozen at the docks last episode.
My headcanon is that gas got in the atmosphere and
spread around some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll buy it.
Sure.
Yeah. It's look, we don't want to pin ourselves down to a finite number of people.
Yeah. We want to make toys out of lots of.
Yeah. And they're watching, they're talking this over. They're at a record store. Virgil, once again, not being subtle at all with, by the way, I have superpowers, in public, is using his zappy electricity powers to hold just a bare CD disc up to his ear. And the electricity can make the laser and make the noise come out. Yeah. I don't know how CDs work.
It's like it's surround sound. It's pretty cool, right? And his buddy, not Max. Max. Richie?
Richie.
Richie!
Yep.
He is like, hey, man, there's a dude over there, and he looks sick. Or wait, I'm sorry, it's Frida. Frida's the one who says there's a dude over there who looks sick.
Yep. I wish we got more of Frida, because I guess she's being set up as the love interest, but she's such a... We barely talked about her last episode.
Yeah, it's only 2 episodes.
And this is... Yeah, yeah, but she's such a non-presence. I would like to get more out of her than, she's the girl that the main character likes, and she gets hassled by bullies, and... But we're not going to get much more out of her this episode, because... The dude who looks sick in the corner of the record store turns into a fucking werewolf.
Yes. Everyone runs out of the record store. They're all scared.
Yep.
And they run into the fire dude.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah. From
Fire dude escaped his hospital.
Yep. Francis, a.k.a. F-Stop, a.k.a. he now says, what's his name?
Heat fire stroke?
Heat wave?
Heat streak. Hot streak.
Hot streak.
Hot streak.
He hits on Frida again real quick, and I'm also noticing this too. He hits on Frida, and Frida, at no point does she ever say, no, I'm not interested, or try to fend him off. She just kind of stands there looking helpless until one of the dudes, in this case I think it's Richie, gets in between her and the bully and says, no, dude, she's not interested.
Yeah.
It's a little regressive here.
Hot streak burns Richie's shirt.
Yep.
Richie it's like, you're on your own, and he runs away. but luckily, oh wait, what's his face? Static Shock runs into him, and everyone, he's like, what are you running from, nerd? He's like, werewolf. And the fire guy's like, you stay right here, I'm gonna beat you up later, but first, werewolf. So throws fire at the werewolf. Werewolf runs away.
Yep.
Turns around and he's ready to get in another fight.
Yep. But Virgil's nowhere to be seen. And instead, Static comes swooping out of the alley.
Yep.
What Virgil just ran into.
Yes. We have ourselves a little confrontation there, but
yep.
He's not able to stop him.
No.
But thankfully, there are fire truck people.
Yep.
Firefighters.
These two super-powered young men are throwing down on public streets, and somebody apparently had the wherewithal to say, well, one of these dudes is using fire. I wonder if we could just use hoses on him.
You think we should call 911?
I think sure. We should call the fire department.
Yeah.
And the fire department shows up and just hoses him down, and apparently when he gets hosed down, it's bad news
yep.
for Hot Streak here. He's laying down like the hose water is sort of sizzling off of his skin, but he's down for the count.
Yeah. And his buddy asks Static Shock, like, what happened? And he's like, well, I blew it.
Yeah.
Ah, nuts.
I'm no good at this.
Shoot.
Couple of, like, quick succession of scenes. We've got Virgil back at the dinner table, and we're getting his family's take on what's going on.
Dad is talking about, like, something should be done.
Yeah.
These kids with powers, it's no good.
And hooligans?
Sister is like, well, there's one that's good.
Yeah.
It's the electric guy.
He's cool.
And so they're having this conversation without knowing he's, like, the center of it.
Yep. Pop says, well, you know, maybe he's doing the right thing now, but this is all new, weird science. We don't know what's going on with it. What if he mutates further? What if he goes out of control like that werewolf dude? We just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now he's worried about his body.
Yeah. So we get a cute little scene at the hospital where he goes and talks to a doctor, and he's saying, I'm going through changes, doc. Do these changes involve other people? Yeah, lots of other people. What? What? Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Here's a shot.
Yep. He's going to get some blood tests done. He's gonna try and figure out if he needs to be worried about any future mutations.
I don't know this, but is maybe the doctor a bad guy later on?
I have no idea, but that was definitely my read, too.
Okay.
And I was looking pretty close. I was expecting, because, yeah, spoilers at the end of the episode, it's going to turn out, hey, clean bill of health, nothing's wrong, you're
yeah.
all good.
You don't see him, like, hold the paperwork and go, you know, there's nothing like that.
But I was super expecting there to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as far as we know, Static Virgil's going to be just fine. He's mm-hmm. got zappy powers.
But he doesn't know that now. He's still nervous.
Yep. And meanwhile, Pops is headed to the mayor's office. There's a big town council meeting, and Pops is getting up there saying, what are you going to do about all these bang baby hooligans blowing shit up? And the mayor's like, this is a budget meeting, sir. Budget? What are you... She says, we'll have a special meeting to decide what to do about the superpowered freaks in about a month.
Yeah.
And Pops is...
A month?
Okay. They're blowing up our streets now, though. Okay, fine.
They do bring up, it's like, the cops are investigating where the gas was or why the gas was there. And it's like, shouldn't we know the results of that?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of, like, important shit?
Yep. And Pops says, well, how come they haven't at least found out what this chemical was or who it belonged to? So, yeah, it seems like maybe there's something shady going on
X-Files.
Here. Some X-Files shit. And
yeah.
Virgil and Richie are sitting in the back of this meeting. And they're like, yeah, there's some shady shit going on here.
So they follow the mayor.
Yep.
Mayor's feeding ducks at a pond.
Yep.
And
this is where all the good spy shit
yeah.
happens.
And then in comes, let's call him Elon Musk. His name is Alva.
Yep.
He is some owner of a bank.
Yep.
And
super rich guy.
Super rich.
Yep.
They say he makes Bill Gates look like he's homeless.
Yep, yep. Richie and Virgil, by the way, are listening to this. Apparently, one of the things that electricity can do is Virgil is holding up a trash can lid and, like, channeling his zappy powers into it, and it turns it into almost like an antenna, like a listening device.
Yeah.
So they're able to hide in the bushes and hear exactly what's being said.
And their conversation is the mayor saying, like, hey, I can only keep him away for so long, so... And the guy's like, well, you better keep your secret, Miss Mayor.
Yep.
And they go their separate ways. He gets in his car, the rich dude, and he makes a phone call. And he's like, hey, erase all that evidence, because the mayor, she's probably going to, you know, spill the beans. So erase everything, but put everything on a disc.
Oh, Virgil's hearing this, like, ah, all right, now I know where to go to get the goods. Goes to the Alva Labs.
Yeah.
And sneaks in, he finds the guy erasing the files, he gets the disc from him, there's a scuffle, yeah, a little cat and mouse through the lab.
He winds up in a tube.
Yep.
He's not naked in a tube, though.
No. The bad guy, I don't know if we ever get a name for this mook, I don't know if he's one we're gonna see again, but he's crafty, he's got like a little laser Star Trek phaser pistol thing,
mm-hmm.
and he's chasing Virgil around the lab, and he manages to trick him into getting into the one spot where he can hit the trap door button and trap him in a tube and fill it with gas.
But he's able to do some with the air pressure.
Yeah, he tries to use his electricity powers on the glass of the tube, but it just bounces off. It's magnetically sealed or something. But he notices, wait, they're pumping gas in here, which raises the air pressure. So he just goes full zappy powers on the tube, which they don't belabor it too much, but I would, if I were to hazard a guess, he's able to excite the air molecules, get the pressure raised even further until the glass just pops from the inside like a balloon.
Like putting too much air in a balloon!
Of course! It's so simple!
And escape he does.
Yep.
With the disc. He pieces out of there, but Alva, he pulls up in his car and he sees him like going away and he gives him the look.
Yeah.
You know, shake your fist in anger look.
Yeah.
Why I oughta.
Kids are on my lawn
again. Darn. Yeah.
Dang it. I'm trying to remember from here how he winds up getting into a fight with Hot Streak.
Well, Hot Streak's in the hospital.
Yeah.
They're making him take pills.
That's
right. I would assume to keep his powers in check.
I would assume, or maybe just keep him unconscious so that he can't use them. He seems like real. He's like, he's in a padded room, and he's all like hunched over, but he's faking it. He's not really taking the pills.
Yeah, and he spits them out.
Yeah, and he busts out, and he decides to blow up Central Park for no reason.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a teen youth. He's angry. He's got fire powers. Why not?
Yeah, he's throwing exploding hot dogs at people.
That's right. That's right. There's a hot dog vendor in the park, and he supercharges hot dogs and throws them.
Yep, Gambit style.
Like kids tend to do.
Yeah, you know.
And explosions everywhere.
Yep.
Static Shock, he shows up.
Yep, gotta have a big fight now. Richie's trying to tell him, hey, maybe just cool it and call the fire department again. And he's like, no, we can't take that chance. He might hurt people while we're waiting for them to show up. I'm here. I got to do this.
And so his buddy, not Max, says, okay, well, remember, you're Static Shock. You know, gives him the pep talk.
Yeah.
You got this, bro.
Yep.
So, save the day.
So they have a big fight. And for a second, it seems like Static's winning and Hot Streak is running away. But it turns out he was doing a sneaky.
Yeah.
He was trying to lead Static into the middle of this big park area, and he says, ha-ha, you big goon, I've been watching you, and your powers work on metal, but we're in a big park. There's no metal here, but there's lots of trees that burn, so I'm going to kick your ass now.
And then Static Shock says to him, ha-ha, this is like Central Park. There's pipes everywhere. And he uses his powers to rip a pipe out of the ground and douse him with water.
Only it's not water.
It's poop water.
Poop again.
Poop water.
There's the poop on him.
Oh, I hate manure.
He covered in the poo.
Oh.
He got the poo all over me.
Yeah, but poop comes from people, and people are 80% water, so it's enough water mixed with the poop to shut him down.
Yes.
Yeah.
They leave.
Yep.
What's his face gets up, the fire guy, and he smells himself, and he's like, bleh, and he falls unconscious again.
Yep. We get a little denouement in Virgil and Richie kicking back and going over it, and Virgil says, hey, is it enough to make this considered educational programming if I talk about the etymology of the term Pyrrhic victory?
That's right, he does say that. I didn't study history that day when he says this guy won a battle, but so many people died, it was kind of like a hollow battle, a hollow win, I mean.
Yep, and that's why they call it a Pyrrhic victory, because yeah, Virgil feels like he won, but did he really? Because the disc got burned up with all the evidence in the fight. Nuts!
Yep. But then he gets a phone call from the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor says, hey, it's cool. Clean bill of health. You're all good, buddy.
Oh, something about electrolytes.
Yeah, there's a cute little bit where he says your electrolytes are a little high. And Virgil's a smart kid. He clearly knows his science.
Yeah.
But he's maybe not thinking so clearly because he's stressed over this. Electro what? I'm not electric. Yeah. What are you talking about? No. Electrolytes.
Yeah.
It's the stuff in Gatorade. You got too much of it.
Cut back.
Cut back on the salty foods.
You'll be A-okay.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Doc.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is, once again, I was also totally expecting, because there's like, you see the doctor hang up from his perspective and the camera hangs on him for a second.
Yeah.
And I was super expecting to hear him like call up the Alva millionaire guy and say, we got him, or something
like
that.
Light a cigarette like the cigarette smoking guy from X-Files.
Yeah. But it doesn't happen. And that's where we're going to leave Aftershock.
And then they do a little quick sketch. So you see an artist hand making the bad guy.
Yeah, I think they just had like an extra 5 seconds of runtime left. And so, yeah, you get this little like time lapse of the artist drawing the hot streak design. Yeah, it's cool.
It's fine.
And thus ends Aftershock.
Yeah.
Kenny, how'd you like this episode?
I liked it.
I liked it too. I don't think I liked it quite as much as the last one.
I thought it was about as even Steven for me.
Yeah. There were a couple of things. Like I thought Richie's little pep talk, you're not Virgil, you're Static.
Yeah.
I thought that fell a little flat. There's this point where Hot Streak makes Static mad and he like has a magical girl transformation and goes like Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Thought that was a little silly. Also that Hot Streak escapes from being imprisoned and immediately starts blowing shit up.
Right. Well, he's like a teen kid.
So. I guess, but like, what are you trying to accomplish, dude?
Well, he wanted to make blowing up hot dogs.
Okay.
Hot dog bombs.
Oh, hot dog bombs. Okay.
Hot dog bombs.
Hot dogs. Exploding hot dogs. They're the dogs kids love to bomb. Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so far I'm enjoying this.
I am too. Yeah.
Maybe it's just because it's new.
Yeah.
And it's something that I know nothing about. So this is a fun treat.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot less of me like side eyeing like, so by the way, in about 3 or 4 episodes, this is going to happen. This is like, yeah, I know.
No idea what's about to happen.
I know in the very broad strokes that I know there's going to be a couple of Justice League crossovers later on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In season 3, I think, is where that happens. But beyond that, I'm liking that I have no idea if this will continue or if it'll be a little more episodic from here on out. But I like that we're building an arc plot.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very serialized, which is pretty different from...
I like that stuff,
though. Yeah.
I like episodic.
Yeah.
I'm old school. I like that stuff.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. But we can see how it goes next week. Let's see what we're going to be watching.
Okay.
I really don't know. Next week, we'll be watching Season 1, Episode 3, The Breed.
Okay.
Clearly, this is where Virgil's going to get Frida pregnant, and we'll see whether she has a mutant freak baby.
If I had to guess, it's probably somebody who can make doubles of himself. Just a guess.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, this will be... this will be our game for next week. We'll see whether Kenny's prediction is right or my prediction is right based on the episode. Yeah.
Hear the title and then we think what we think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like this. And then we'll see. We'll decide which of us was more right. We can keep score over the season.
I like it. All right.
No sneaky reading episode descriptions.
No. I'll be.
We can only look at the episode title.
Yes.
So either it's going to be like a multiple man dude who can duplicate
That's
himself.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's Kenny's guess. Or Virgil gets Frida pregnant.
We'll find out next week, buddy.
We will. In the meantime, Kenny, where can folks find you on the internet?
They might talk about teen pregnancy. I mean, it could be.
I mean, I didn't call it out at the time, but I did appreciate in that first episode the gun that the gangbanger hands Virgil. That was a real-ass bullet-firing gun.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, sci-fi-looking phaser.
Yeah. They also, they are willing to call these guys, they're not mooks, they're not hoodlums, they're not the mob. These are gangbangers.
Yep.
I also noticed we get a lot more pop culture references in this show.
At the record store, they bring up Britney Spears.
At one point, Virgil, in that first scene where he's trying to shave, he's also trying to rap, and his sister makes fun of him. Hey, Puffy, get over here. So, yeah, the whole setting feels a lot more grounded in the time and place the show was released in a way that... It never feels like they're laying it on too thick. It very seldom feels like, hey, kids, you like Puffy, right?
Right.
I feel like it's just enough because they're kids. They like music. Of course they'd talk about that stuff.
Yeah. I was going to make a joke. Damn it. We already passed by. So they're using CDs. Ben, what are CDs?
I noticed that too. Okay.
Damn it. This almost feels like we're ruining it now.
For you children in the audience.
Yay! We brought it back.
My fiance's housemates are all, they're not even that much younger. They're like 10 years younger than us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, significantly younger, but it's not like they're babies.
Right.
But yeah, certain things, it's like, fucking children.
Right.
How do you not know this?
VCR.
Oh, yeah, they also mentioned.
Where's Virgil? He's getting his VCR fixed.
Which, even at the time, that would have been a lame excuse because this was coming out in the early 2000s. I mean, VCRs were still a thing, but we were definitely well into moving along to DVDs.
My last VHS tape was the Fellowship of the Ring, so that would have been...
Oh, man.
02. We'll say 02.
Okay.
That was my last tape.
Let me check the dates on this.
Because the movie came out in 01 at Christmas time, so it probably came out to buy on VHS... Sometime in 02.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess this season was airing in the year 2000. VHS was still the...
There was no TiVo yet, so if you wanted to record...
I mean, there was TiVo, but it was for rich people.
It was?
I'm pretty sure... I don't know. Let's find out when TiVo happened.
Okay. I remember recording an episode of Angel on the WB... Because at the end of the episode, they were like, stay tuned. At the end, we're going to show you the trailer for The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. So I recorded it, and that was my one and only way. Because they were, you know, the internet existed, but the trailer shit, that wasn't really part of it yet.
Yeah. 1999. TiVo debuted in 1999, so it would have been only around for a year. So yeah, TiVo existed, but not a lot of people had it. That was rich people shit.
The first person I'm thinking of is, did Zach have it?
Yeah. Not Zach, as far as maybe he did too. His brother John had one.
Okay. We were mutual friends with a guy named Zach, and we went to his birthday party, and god damn, it was like Wayne Manor.
Yeah. their family does all right.
They did okay. Good for them.
Yeah, you know. I was always kind of jealous of them because they were better off than I was. But, you know, it's all relative because I got this job that I really wanted. And my one of my fiance's housemates is he's kind of struggling right now. He's in his mid-20s. Mm-hmm. Like, shit's rough out there. And I show up and day one get the exact job that I want. And he's been looking. He's been getting work, but not like steady. It's been like gig work.
When I hear people trying to get a house now, we have a house, we're homeowners, hearing it now, and they look at me and it's like, oh man, I don't know what to tell you, bro. It was just the time. We're not any better than you. Yeah. It just was the time at the time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It kind of goes in waves because we'll have a bubble and then a crash.
Yeah.
And if you can get that locked in during that crash when prices are low.
We're not smart. We're not any different than you. It was just at that time. We just were lucky.
Yep. So you try to be grateful for what you have.
That's true.
And we'll try to be grateful for the breed. Next week.
And we'll find out who's right.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye. I put a shot to your system.